The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not continue disbelieving, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Recall the last time that you really felt and experienced fear. Or if you can, you're able to recall the first time you really felt fear, really experienced it. For some of you, it may have been that time you, as a small child, were put into the deep end of the pool and told swim, or in a lake that was too deep. You couldn't touch bottom, but you had to actually tread water. Or that first time when you were driving a car and you had a near miss, fear settled in. Or the fear of hearing about the tragic loss of a family member, friend, the fear that Now, you and I have all had different experiences with fear and what precipitated fear, but the outcome is almost always the same. There's physiological changes that occur. Your body actually responds to fear. And one of the things that happens is your brain starts shutting down, and the instincts to survive take over. You're not clearly thinking anymore. So part of overcoming fear is to calm, think through the issue or the event that just occurred. Easier said than done, isn't it? But fear has a way of reducing us to the most base instincts of life. And as you are probably now thinking about some times when you were very much afraid, maybe even from a dream recently, I recall for you our gospel text today. Remember the context. And the adult Bible study talked about it this morning. Stealing my thunder once again, Bob. But the disciples that morning, remember, of Peter and John, I should say, along with Mary, had been to the tomb on that first day of the week, right? And they had experienced the rolled-away tombstone and the linens lying there neatly. Even the handkerchief that had covered Jesus' face was lying there neatly. And what did they do? They were bewildered and wondering what was going on. At least certainly Peter, we find, was in that state of mind. And then later, Mary actually encountered Jesus, thinking he was a gardener. But now, remember, this isn't a year later, a week later, but this is the same day. That evening, where were the disciples? Locked inside a house or room. Locked. For what reason? Fear. They were afraid. And of what were they afraid? It says in the Gospel of John here, his text, that they were afraid of the Jews. But let's think that through. They had had a few days of some life-changing events. They had experienced some horrible things. Their teacher, their rabbi, their mentor had just been betrayed, gone through a kangaroo court led by the Sanhedrin, and found guilty of heresy of some kind. And then turned over to Pontius Pilate to be given the death sentence for what? Treason, basically. An insurrection. And the Romans dealt swiftly with insurrections. They killed everybody involved. That was how they dealt with it. They expunged it from their area of responsibility, from their area of where they resided. So the disciples were afraid that, in all likelihood, that they would go through the same experience or similar experience as whom? Jesus, right? My goodness, they saw him go through public humiliation, both at the hands of their countrymen, their Jewish brethren, and the Gentiles, you know, the Romans. Beaten, you know, whipped, crown of thorns placed on his head, and then a horrible way to die, he was crucified. So again, we may be looking at this passage and saying, what? Come on, filled with fear? Yeah, you bet. Your life, they were filled with fear. They knew the Romans would deal with all of them who were followers of Jesus, fellow insurrectionists, the same way, right? Kill them. And in a harsh way. They weren't Roman citizens, so they're going to be killed by crucifixion in all likelihood. They didn't want any part of that. On the other hand, are you kidding me? That morning, Mary had told them, I have seen Jesus. I spoke with him. And two of them, Peter and John, had witnessed the empty tomb. But as we learned in the first portion of this chapter, John, something was missing. It was still missing. Something, there was a gap. And in the midst of them, behind this, in the original word is like a key, a locked door. In the midst of them, behind this locked door, who shows up in their midst? Jesus. Jesus. They had bolted the door shut, locked it, because of fear. That didn't stop Jesus from coming to them in their midst. And what's the first thing he says? Peace be with you. And in Hebrew, in all likelihood, he said, Shalom, which is a Hebrew word for peace. Shalom. All of God's blessings. That's a wonderful thing to say to someone. You're wishing all of the promises that were given to Abraham and his descendants, first and foremost would be life, right? Life. He comes to them, all the blessings of life I give unto you disciples in this place. Shalom. I give you peace. The very blessings of God have restored to you this peace. And I give it to you now. And so they then were given also this gift of the Holy Spirit. By the word of God. Remember how John begins his gospel. The word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. To all who believed in him, he gives the power to become the sons of God. That's how John begins his gospel. And now at the end, in the 20th chapter, we're at the end of his gospel. The word comes among them, living word. And says, peace. I give this unto you. But a guy was missing, Thomas. But that's for another sermon. I'll let someone else talk about Thomas today, another Sunday. But what was it that kept him behind the locked door? Fear. Fear kept him locked up. Something that you and I still experience as Christians. Fear. Even though, we know that Jesus lives. We remain in a world of fear. The world that you and I know, this world, it's the only one we know, is a world that is locked in fear. Locked behind the walls of fear. Because it only experiences that which it can touch, that which it can see, that which it can hear, taste. That's it. That's the world in which we live. We grow up in that world, each and every one of us. We believe it because we can see it. We can feel it. We can taste. We can taste it. You know, using our senses, or that which we can intellectually apprehend. But now something has happened historically which makes all the difference in the world. Something that goes beyond what you and I and the world can apprehend with any of our senses or intellectually. This Messiah has risen from the dead. Do you believe it? Do you believe who he is and what he says? Until they were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, guess what? No. No. They couldn't apprehend it. It was beyond human understanding. Familiar words we hear almost every week. And the peace of God that surpasses what? All human understanding. The world will never comprehend this. It is in fear of going beyond the locked doors. But lest we be too hard on the world, let us look at our own lives. I, for one, and I speak frankly to you, you too, find it most comfortable to be behind a locked door with your own apprehensions and fears. It is a difficult thing to walk every day by faith. We are told, right, that even if you have the faith of that of a mustard seed, this tiny little seed, you can move mountains. Every day is a struggle for you and me. We stay behind the locked doors individually. What if I venture out in faith? What if I were to proclaim my faith in Jesus Christ, the faith of the ancient church, to my neighbors, to my friends, my family? What would they think of me? What if I were to not buy into all of the cultural immoralities around me? What would the world think of me? They think you're some kind of religious zealot, some nut? I don't know. But it's also our church, the LCMS. Let's speak about ourselves. We don't need to go and talk about others. How much time do we spend as a church locked in fear, behind the door of fear, lest our church be kind of not so acceptable anymore? It seems to me that there are many churches, either nationally or locally, who would appease the world, who want to be somehow acceptable to them, and so that's their fear. They fear somehow no longer being relevant. That, my friends, is the fear rooted in what? Unbelief. And continued unbelieving. And it's a struggle for each and every one of us. So what are we to do? We are to walk by faith, right? And how does that come? Only by the Holy Spirit, and that's by the preaching of the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Unless that be preached, there's not going to be the work of the Holy Spirit. That gospel message is what we are to preach to the ends of the earth, today and always, no matter where we are culturally, and do it personally and as a church. That is our calling. And what is that simple gospel? That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are in darkness. All are gripped in a world that is committed only to what we see, hear, taste, and touch now. And that, my friends, is a world of death. That's all the world sees. 80, 90, 100 years maybe, and you're in the grave. That's it. But you have been given the gift of faith whereby you believe and whereby you are children of the sons of God. Shalom to you. The blessings of God are yours, His chosen people. And this is that you are citizens of His kingdom, a kingdom not in this world, not of this world, but is different from it, a different kingdom that is for all eternity. And as Jesus said clearly time and again, what? My kingdom is not of this world. It's an eternal kingdom. And you, through faith, have apprehended this. This you heard early on, that Jesus Christ has come to seek and save sinners. His shed blood has cleansed you, has made your sins that were scarlet as white as snow. That His atoning death on the cross is sufficient, all sufficient, for the sins of humanity. And that life of sacrifice is what God accepts. And now, you who by faith are in Christ, you are innocent before God. Free of sin, believe it or not, that's the truth. Your innocence is that of Christ. A gift. And that's only apprehended by faith. And it all comes back to this proclamation of the Word whereby people would believe. So this is the first Sunday after Easter, right? The time, the great feast of the church year when we celebrate the resurrection. Let's go tell people about it. Let's tell those in a fearful world that there is shalom for them, there is peace and tranquility for them through Jesus Christ. Let us go and share this good news, this gospel, with those around us, that they too might believe and that they might share with you the gift you will have, the gift of the kingdom of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.